Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, December 6, 2018. It is 9 a.m., and we're assembled in the board is assembled in the county administration workshop area in the BCC conference room. President, our Commissioner Herr, Commissioner DeYoung. Item 1A, department business, is 1A is the fairgrounds. Tamara Martin, and I think both of you come up, or all three of you come
up. Let's see everybody but JJ.
Let's just get everybody up here but JJ.
Hello. I'm just here for moral support.
You're here for moral support, but you're also here to answer any questions. Yeah, you know that.
Of course.
I'll read the first order of business is request for a budget approval for covered arena roof and remodel project to proceed to request for proposals to be prepared and released. And this is for the arena roof, correct?
Yes.
And explain why you're here.
Well, before I get too far started, I gave you guys another sheet that has things on it that have all of the grants that I've written for and how much we've received in grants since I started doing this.
Okay.
Wow.
It's $639,000. And some more that I got a notice on yesterday that we're getting money, but they didn't say how much. But I have to do a report, so I know I'm getting money. So we're going to go over $640,000.
So
I had asked for $8,000 on this particular grant. And so hopefully
which one
we
says that? Because I got one that says $504,000.
This one. Yeah.
It was a complicated one.
Yeah, the complicated one. They're more for my notes, but I gave this all to the board. The other day. So just so that they could see where it came from, who the granting organizations are that are helping us, and what projects that they did. So it's just good information, and I hardly ever get a chance to share that with you guys, so I'm sharing it.
Well, okay. Long term, we have to think about obviously commemorating these grantors somehow.
That's why all the fair board got it last on the fair board meeting. So,
but like on the arena, like on a wall.
On the wall. Yes,
we talked about putting it on a wall. Flower building.
There's some in the flower building. There's a bigger wall and a better wall. We think maybe in the pavilion building, right as you walk in the door, because more people, big events, see that wall and they read that wall. So.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll have to put it in a couple of buildings, but we just decided.
Yeah, I think there would be a need for one, like, on the side of the arena eventually, you know, but maybe less, you know, not like the bronze one or something.
No,
maybe
but it'll be funding partners at that point.
Absolutely.
We have to do funding partners because Ford only wants to be recognized certain ways.
Yeah,
Rotaries
okay.
want to be recognized.
Well, you'll know that.
Yeah.
As long as that's written down somewhere.
They have all the information.
Sometimes
I didn't
people
print that one for you.
Sometimes people give that they don't want to be recognized. Like we would need to be cognizant of that because we've had
it. Ford is one of those that doesn't want to be recognized by themselves. We have to do it with another group.
Right.
So they'll be with Rotary.
But we have had history with organizations that say, I'm going to pay for this, but I don't want anybody to know about it.
Right.
And we've had that. So I think we need to be very, very careful that we're not spidering all over the side of a building and they say, hey, I told you I wanted to just kind of remain under the radar.
Mm-hmm. Most of the granting organizations that I've been dealing with, they want some recognition in the PSAs or whatever.
That's been our challenge.
Yeah.
I can't think of one of those, but I'm sure they may exist. But I can think of a half a dozen where somebody did something and we didn't recognize.
And we didn't do anything, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
the normal, I just... I was just saying that there are people out there, there are organizations out there that wish to remain anonymous.
Right.
This is way back. You remember the TV series called The Millionaire. John Beresford Tipton was the guy that gave the money out, but he didn't want anybody to know about it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to find him right now.
That,
Brian and I could use him right now.
Yeah. What was the guy's name again? Mary's writing it down.
Taking notes.
So, Lily, this one is just for information. We've just gotten started for you for what we've received in grants from since I started writing grants in 2014. And 639, and we have a little bit more coming from, it's actually Gordon Elwood Foundation. And I should get, they told me I'd find out on the 8th originally, so maybe they're holding off telling me a number until the 8th. But I have to do a report, so I know I'm getting something. So, anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
So basically what you're here today asking us is if you can proceed with an RFP?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's
so that we can move these forward.
Right. The not-to-exceed budget.
Right, not-to-exceed budget. But also, for my information, I'm assuming we're doing this because, hey, we want this done by next spring?
We would like to get the roof on by spring, and then
right.
we can work on the rest of
then
it.
Then we work on the rest of it.
We don't want to lose any money here. We've gotten in fact, I put $204,000 in the bank in the 1st of November, $150,000 from the Ford Foundation, and $54,000 from the first payment of the Rotary money. So we have money in there, plus we have another $20,000 that we can work with from economic development. So we've got money to move forward, but it's the slow process of getting it moving forward.
So. Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. We better start the process,
mm-hmm.
and as long as it's not to exceed budget, I think we should be okay,
then,
correct?
Yeah, then I was kind of playing with the budgets last night. My original budget for the arena roof and the kind of upgrades that we can do reasonably was $504,000. That's the one budget you're seeing. Underneath it, now I heard some rumors that you might want to put metal on the roof. That's not in the original budget. So that would have to be something that would have to come from the building fund, or you commissioners would have to say, I want metal on the roof, not...
If we went over, like, the design that you're illustrating in that, I mean, I've seen a copy, but if that happened, I missed that meeting where we kind of refined the proposed design. All I've done is kind of been presented that, and mm-hmm. the board hasn't really... I haven't been a part of a board conversation to say, well, what about a metal roof?
I didn't plan for a metal roof when I originally did it, but a metal roof is kind of...
I believe in one of my updates we discussed...
I didn't think it was
the
arena.
You and I discussed
okay.
the metal roof.
Okay,
I didn't think it was the arena. I thought you guys were looking at the 4-H building or something else like that.
Okay.
But getting some of the leftover from the schools.
Okay. That's a whole different...
Okay, that's the only thing I remember.
I'm not asking about what the conclusion was. Did that conversation happen and did I miss it? And are you guys already at a point of... You know exactly what this design is supposed to look like.
No.
Then I think that's an important step, because it's all well and good where everything has happened discussion-wise so far, but mm-hmm. ultimately, if the board is going to approve an RFP, I want to know that I totally agree with what it looks like.
You run some numbers on what the difference between metal and comp is?
About 100.
Well, Dan's got that. He can cover
it.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah. Get my checkbook,
buddy. You better find that millionaire.
Yeah.
Is that that seems like an important phase. You're asking me to approve an RFP based on a budget that is a cost associated with a design.
I just want you to know what we need to move it forward so that we at least get something going. And it hasn't been back here to the commissioners to move forward at all.
Right.
But we need to get an RFP or we're not going to have a roof on it by next year.
And I'm just saying you can't form an RFP until
you know what kind of roof
design.
You're putting it out. Yeah.
The roof is one component of it.
Yeah.
Who did a conceptual drawing?
Strauss and Siebert.
Strauss and Siebert.
Is it something
and
that
they
have that one?
They gave us numbers to do the roof both directions. So we can either go with a membrane or metal. And even if we go with metal, there are certain sections that would still be a membrane roof, but they're not visible.
Yeah.
The flats and so forth.
Sure. Changes in pitch.
Yeah.
And honestly, from the design of this, you can't tell that it's not metal. It almost
exactly.
looks like it is.
Exactly.
So
that's
and
the
then,
picture they gave us.
And then if down the road we have roof issues, the smaller sections with the membrane, the cost wouldn't be as extensive. Where the metal, obviously is going to last over time.
I know we have to worry about money, but it would be nice to know exactly what we're approving.
I'm kind of a process person, and I apologize, but I'm not prepared to move forward with an RFP that's final until, and this doesn't have to take a long time, but I think we need to go over the fundamentals. The last thing this board wants is to approve an RFP, have a building done, and then they go and look at it, and it's like, well, that seems silly. I don't like that idea.
Well, that was the concern, was the board would like to make an update to that just flat, rolled roofing or whatever the membrane roofing is.
I was... Just, have you guys looked at these little things?
This looks like either a prison or a military fort to me from the 1800s. With the things on the corners. I don't mean it that way.
No, but the idea is to make it look more like the
Lodgy would be all right. Yes.
And they're also functional in the fact that we have to put the ADA ramps in,
right.
And which would require cutting the asphalt beyond the building. Right. And so that's why we needed a cover beyond that.
I like the concept.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm not saying I'm not going to like it. I just think that...
Well, the other thing on that drawing, I think it's still right by where your fingers are. There's, does that still show two restrooms at the bottom of it?
Yes.
They're out. So it's just an entrance there. We can't afford them. $150,000 I wrote for...
Yeah, because is there any plumbing to that spot? I don't see any plumbing.
No.
In my mind.
We'd be running plumbing down.
Yeah, that's, that's not cheap.
No.
Because otherwise...
So, those, well, those got cut because I didn't get two $75,000 grants that I wrote for, so...
And a lot of the...
I'd like to see if these, you know, the things that are cut, what was cut, and how is it designed so that those can be added if... Because I know that, you know, the restrooms, when you go over to any one of those events, a rodeo or whatever, restrooms
Well, we are still putting one restroom in up on the midway.
Yeah.
One more.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's a handicap restroom and upgrading the ones that are up there.
And
plus we have the ones for posse down under the posse room as well. So.
And most of the budget is functional improvements. They're not cosmetic. I mean, obviously paint, siding, roofing is going to make the building look better.
That's where the 504.
But yeah, a lot, you know, we're doing the ADA upgrade. So that's a small piece of it. For seating.
I think
The membrane roof, because that's where we're starting on this thing. Membrane roof, is it like Duralast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that brand per se.
But it'll be a vinyl roof.
Yeah.
Vinyl roof. And it comes in various colors. You can get vinyl roof in kind of a tan, or you can get it in bright white or whatever it is.
Right.
My experience with vinyl roofs is that on a hot summer day, you can go lay down on the thing. It's cool. I don't care how hot it is outside. It's cool. We ran a load study on a building over for Southern Oregon University, Southern Oregon College at that time. And by going to a Duralast roof, they nixed their requirement to go up 35% on their air conditioning load. Because they went to a membrane roof, it was cooler in the building, and they did not have to upgrade their AC to overcome the amount of people they were going to put in there that had overwhelmed the air conditioning load. And they didn't have to do that. So there's something to a membrane roof being cooler in there in the building. I put a membrane roof on a building I built in the 80s, and it's still there.
So you're recommending a membrane
roof? I'm not recommending. I'm just throwing this out.
But there are some benefits.
The other thing is we don't have air conditioning. It's not planned for air conditioning.
No, you're not. No, I'm not talking air conditioning.
No, I know,
but we
do have the exhaust fans.
I know,
but I'm talking
about the initial. If you don't let the heat in through the roof, you don't have to deal with it once it's inside.
Yeah.
It would be cooler in that building by a pretty good stretch of the imagination if you went to a membrane roof. I wouldn't want a white membrane roof up there because why? It looks like a white membrane roof. It looks like surgical. But they do make a tan one, and they're both the same. But you can go up there on a hot summer day, and you can't put your hand down on a regular roof, tar paper roof or metal roof, and you can lay down on that, and it is cool to the touch. Don't ask me. I can't tell you how.
I'm okay with the membrane roof. I mean,
I like the looks of a metal roof. I've got a metal roof on my own home. And a metal roof is basically for keeps, unless we get in a situation like they have out there at the schools where...
This is separated, is it?
And I still don't believe what the problem is there. But another thing that a metal roof is going to be is we will have that issue of moisture maybe hitting the metal and becoming clouding up and raining in there, and I don't want that to happen either, so... Although I like the metal roof concept and I like the looks of it, functionality for what we're doing, I would opt towards like a tan membrane, and then it's there and go from there. And then if you want to do on your corners, you know, your cupolas or whatever you've got there, if you want to do those for effect,
then
put the metal on there on the smaller surfaces, but go a membrane on, that would be my recommendation.
Well, that's it. We've never had a chance to discuss with the commissioners.
Yeah. And it's cost effective.
This whole thing.
Yeah. It would save us money over a metal roof overall. And there'll be some membrane up there It's not a heavy traffic area. One of the drawbacks to a membrane roof is if you drop a screwdriver, you've got to circle it with a felt pen. Nobody goes on the roof without a felt pen.
Right, yeah.
Because you drop something, you better circle where it dropped, because that's how you find the leaks.
Question for you. Is it intended that it be green?
No, this was, we haven't decided on
This
colors.
Was the very first concept. Well, actually,
and that might be part of what
drawing.
I'm seeing as far as...
he's saying this, if it's membrane, will be all tan.
That would change the impact of the colors and stuff like that.
This was actually the first concept drawing. You see a little bit of it in the newspaper article that came out about it. I think I have a hold of the second one, if it's got...
So these are just windows that are already there,
yes.
not looking at expanding or adding anything, just simply
replacing.
So, and I think I'm just going with how dark everything looks, and
it's a lot different.
If that was a tan thing, that these could even be maybe green, and it would just offset tan and green highlight kind of thing.
Great connection here.
Yeah, no, I didn't know about a tan option. I'm highlighting what you said and saying
we were talking and you were talking. We were having a conversation.
I was listening.
Had your heads together, but we were talking about a membrane on the main dome.
Yeah.
And then on the cupolas we would put...
We heard that.
Yeah, but I'm saying that this would make this less stark and less, if that were the case.
And I think functionality, we'd be better off functionality with.
And we can come back with color samples. If we say, okay, we want to go with a membrane roof, not metal, we can come back with some samples and make sure everybody's in agreement. This is the colors. Same with paint.
And he can take that back to the engineers.
I think my concern with dark is knowing that dark absorbs heat.
Yes.
And and so tan is more likely, or white, but tan is going to reflect versus the dark will absorb. So a dark roof
is
going to be...
It's the material. And they had a real dark material for a while. And even that really dark material, you could lay down on it. It's the darndest thing you're... I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't have done it 100 times. But you go up on a roof to work on a 105-degree day, and you get on a regular mopped roof or a rolled roof, and I'm not kidding you, it's just radiating off of the heat. And on this, you walk up there and you go, well, it's 105 degrees out, but I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
You can put your knee down on it. You can put your tools down on it.
I'm convinced.
Everything.
The other side of the coin, though, is that in the winter months, the metal roof's going to attract heat, and this is a building without heat. So adding some is
good
a plus.
I think its use is more in the summertime. When people can bundle up.
Well,
it's actually used all year long, because
the
equestrian team's right in there all year long, and especially in the winter.
Yeah.
They're in there.
I don't see as many...
They know to bundle up. They're outside.
Yeah, they do.
The arena is not it really is an outdoor.
In the stands in the winter.
All you're getting is protected from rain and snow or whatever.
Once we put
your
a roof
Mission
on
Impossible,
it.
Do you have to go?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just responding to the theme.
It's a reoccurring theme.
So do we have something?
Is much natural light provided? I know that that's something that's really limited right now, much as possible.
We're going to put louvers on the sides that can be opened for natural light. The other thing that's being added is exhaust fans, because they run tractors and stuff in there, and
absolutely.
The diesels.
When people pass out,
OSHA's not a big fan of that.
Paint arena inside and out, there is going to be a limited need for the outside paint.
Yes, there will be.
So,
but it probably still has to be stained.
It all
or
has
something.
To be stained.
Yeah,
and Ron
so I left that in
we
there.
Pre-stain it
Before you hang it. That makes sense.
It'll have a different look now that we've got the deal with the siding and the logs.
And I wondered if that was before.
Any of that happened. So, it had to come here because we need to get it moving, and we haven't talked about it.
Yeah, color
it's
choices.
It's been on the agenda. Let's just be clear. It's been on the agenda for a couple of months here. It just got pushed. So we've been ready, and we've seen this for months.
Right.
And you've been doing, all of the legwork on the grant stuff. It's coming together. We'll get it there.
It is. But I don't want to lose any money. When you get a $150,000 grant from somebody and another $200,000 committed, you want to take advantage of that.
Is there any, with the remodeling that's going on, is there anything that would hurt the roof going in first? Or can the roof
I think the roof needs to go in. Originally, had originally planned it to do some understructure stuff before the roof because I didn't think I'd have enough money.
Yeah.
Well, when the Ford Family Foundation didn't chunk it off in two separate years, they gave me the whole $150,000 right now. It's in the bank. that allows us to go ahead and do the roof now.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yep, me too.
The longer, no more plastic tarps.
No, and we've already got plastic on it for this year. There's another plastic in that budget right now for next year because that's the way it was originally planned. Yeah. It'd be 2 years before we could get the roof on it. But with them bringing in the money and not, you know, I was shocked that they didn't divide it into 2 years, but they didn't. So
we'll count our blessings.
Yes, change the rules.
So, you know, we just did a cursory evaluation that, and I look back and I judge previous boards for either not doing their due diligence, not getting some sort of a warranty on the roof that's on there. I mean, mm-hmm. it should have been okay for a little bit longer than it was. And my thought with going for metal, A, you thought you had maybe an access, but that was kind of tangential. B, mm-hmm. I've seen metal roofs on barns that have been there for 100 years, and they're fine. Every once in a while, every couple of years, we just had ours redone where you had to go up there in 105-degree heat, and it was hot. It was melting people's shoes, mm-hmm. and they were just replacing the screws. But that roof will be there for another 50 years, no problem.
Right.
Yeah, the galvanized has all come off of it, but it's actually really a beautiful roof. It's on the cover of our CWPP. I mean, people love the look of it. It's classic. Mm-hmm. So I know that
longevity is important.
And I want to make sure that I'm not judged by saying, why did you put another Duralast roof mm-hmm. on there? I mean, this is only the information I have. You had a Duralast roof or something like it. It didn't work really well. Mm-hmm. People have been putting metal on roofs for 100 years, and yeah, it costs you a little bit more, but you'll never have to re-roof that again in my lifetime.
I think those are things that have to be considered. The color is kind of... But that can be dealt with. But what is going to last the longest?
You can make it any color on metal you want. Mm-hmm. But
what is going to last the
longest? I just know that we're picking a trajectory here, and I want to be judged according to we evaluated everything, and I'm actually, you know, I like the idea. It makes a lot of sense. Heat is a huge consideration.
Commissioner, when you're done, sir.
No.
Just a thought. You may have Ryan work with the proposer to do some life cycle costing on the roof too, because they've done roofs like this before, and they can do some comps. The Duralast will not cost as much up front, but it will last as long. They can life cycle cost that stuff, and I think answer a lot of these questions.
Okay. So the other question I have is metal too loud? If you have an event in there and it's raining, can you hear anything going on inside because the thunderous rain on the roof?
I live in a metal roof house.
Okay.
Just for that purpose, because I like to hear the rain and I don't hear real well.
So you don't want to hear anything?
What'd you say?
Selective hearing.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Where's Cam?
Keep it down. Come on. You guys are reading something into the thing. I put that metal roof house on my house in 1991, and my contractor told me, you'll be tearing that off there. I says, I will not. They'll pat dirt in my face with a shovel before I have to touch that roof. And 1991 till now is 27 years, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. Still looked good.
Yeah, but you've got layers of insulation between yours and
right,
stuff.
I do.
It's not exactly. There's wood.
And that's a large surface up there.
And there'll be a vapor barrier of some type put down, but as far as the acoustics, you'll probably hear the raindrops
on metal.
I don't think it would disturb an event, but you would definitely hear something.
I'd sure hate to say, well, I can't use the thing because it's going to pour down rain, and I can't use it because I can't hear in there.
Yeah,
that's not.
Did
happen.
You talk? Have you dealt with question. Duralast at all?
Yes.
Tim, did you talk to Tim up there?
No, on this project, not at all.
Okay,
because
I'm wondering if Duralast Roofing is a big company nationwide. And I'd like to ask Tim if it would be something that he'd say, you know what, hey, you want your name on that roof?
Well, I don't want to see a repeat of what happened last time.
I don't either.
Right. And Duralast has got a good, you know, they got a good warranty and a good reputation. If you'd like, I could talk to you. It was 45 years ago that roof went on.
Sure. But it leaked right away.
But I don't want to step on any toes, and I don't want to get, you know, under your fingernails. Anyway, you've got your contractors you work with.
Absolutely.
And if they don't...
Well, in this particular case, we'd have to put out a formal RFP, and we wouldn't have any association whatsoever with the contractor.
Okay.
So it would be strictly low
bid. I'm not going to care.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
My preference is not really last. I don't like membrane roofs because of the holes that get poked. We've had birds drop things from 100 feet.
This is just to fix it for right now.
We know nobody's been on the roof
for the next 20, 30 years, probably, because things move so slowly.
Probably a bird dropping something.
If we started on right now, it's there.
Longevity's not there. I mean, the products are better now.
And if we do a nice job on it,
they definitely last longer than they used to.
What we can afford to do.
In this application, it works.
We have to do a nice job, period. We have to
renovate my building of the 25-year roof.
All of those roofs in that industrial park.
50 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's up, you know, we'll just kick it around.
The earth tones, but I think there is something to look at that. But what does it mean from the commissioners and the cost? If they had a budget that we approved to move forward on and it costs more, do we look at how do we come alongside and say, do this now for the sake of saving the building?
I think you had a good point about asking Duralast. I mean, that could be... And it doesn't mean you don't put metal anywhere, because I see just the dome being the Duralast style. Is it possible to integrate the metal in more of the flat and the flashing, like it is illustrated here?
No, actually, the flat, we're kind of...
It's better for the
The membrane
is
better on the flat than it is on the
Yeah, the metal runs off,
yeah.
But you need an angle.
So, yeah. I mean, we could do like a three-ply type roof, you know, hot tar on that flat surface. You won't see it.
No. So. But it won't last. You have to be up there.
It'll outlast the Duralast, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're 40.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what we have on this roof, and that's what we typically put on most of our roofs.
I just saw how quickly Community Corrections leaked.
Yeah. Man, that was a contractor fail for sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Just checking.
Yes.
And fixable with those kinds of roofs.
Yes.
They're not.
Yeah. We, on the Justice Building, had, I don't know, at one point we had 25 guys up there on their hands and knees looking for holes. And this was probably 15 years ago because we had it leaking down into a courtroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a little hole.
Yeah.
Got to find it.
So. Well, can we do the life check? I mean,
yeah, that's
if this
point.
Is something that you don't have to come back to and find funding for again anytime soon, that it can last longer. And
she only comes around like every 100 years.
I mean, as the agency
I'm not
you represent. As
oh, I know. We won't see another one of you for a long time.
As the department you represent, and looking at the longevity of all the projects on that property and this master plan, it would be nice to not have to come back to this building, that we can put a bow on and say, this one's good for however long. Now let's go focus on the rest. And if we could get something that is going to last the longest with the best quality, let's do it right, is just my thought.
And it's like buying tires for your pickup truck. Do you want quiet tires, and then when it snows, you're going nowhere? Or if you want a tire that's a traction tire, you're going to have to put up with the noise. I mean, there's no perfect roof for this building. I think we'll all agree with that.
Yeah.
So which one touches, checks most of the boxes?
The one that doesn't leak.
The one I want. Save the tires, yeah.
Because of the square footage of the roof and the barrel shape, the membrane does work for this application. You know, and then we could do our due diligence on seeing how long of a warranty we could get, maybe potentially purchase an additional warranty to stretch it out further.
I don't know what you call these little out deals, vestibules or whatever. Are those going to be metal or three tab?
None of that was set in stone.
Being metal.
We could still put those in metal.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah.
And then we're done with those.
And then you get some privacy in the bathroom because it will be noisy with the room.
Big timber frame style, I think this is just kind of like a cursory. It's not an engineered blah, blah, blah.
Well, the other thing I need to bring up, too, a little bit is because I actually got the bids with Mike Hagen's help. These were two-year-old bids now.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's what I went to the funding places with.
Yeah.
And it probably still works pretty much because we padded it somewhat.
Well, and we're hoping that
our
wood provided will help, too.
Yes, it absolutely will. Yeah. Yes, and Ron Fields is asking for the siding off of the arena.
He wants the old siding, and he gives us the new
siding.
Let's just
talk.
The whole project is a super tight budget, which is an understatement. So it might be beneficial to stay with the membrane unless we're going to pull money from property reserve to
aid
in the budget.
The good thing, property reserve doesn't have to pay for the whole roof.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also important that we look at, well, it came up over budget. We're not able to do that little thing this year or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you start, you know, being able to parse things off. It says, we just can't do that this time.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of opposed to property reserve being dipped into. When I look at the horizon
and
see...
That's why I went after Monday.
I know, and you did a phenomenal job because you were given that direction, the property reserve. If I look out to the horizon, we have millions of dollars of potential liability in our property reserve. I mean, we shorted up by another $1 million, but it isn't going to be able to cover it. I'm really worried about it.
And I think that answers the question. I mean, if we're not going to tap property reserve, which there's plenty of things to tap property reserve, then we just stay with the membrane roof.
We stay with the membrane.
Because we don't have the budget.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going
to
happen.
There's really valid reasons why we chose it. They just need to transcend this meeting. And so in, you know, 10 years, people know we did a thorough evaluation that the membrane was the correct choice. I think the heating element...
Remember different fronts.
It's unbearable if you're sitting in there in the summer as a person who's watching something, and it's hotter than blazes
hot,
in there.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that be terrible if we hitched our wagon to a metal roof and found out nobody could use it, and we had to spend another $150,000 on some sort of AC and fan unit system just to make
you
it bearable
can't
to use.
Spend enough money on that cracker box for air conditioning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean,
you don't have enough water in the Rogue River for swamp coolers to cool.
So that would not be a wise trajectory change. I think that the improvements in the membrane systems over the years of what, you know, whatever kind of technology they're using now is totally different than what they were using then.
Right.
We should be in good shape. Okay. But exploring that extra warranty with whomever we go with, but reaching out to those people with a label, with a brand, and say, hey, there's a lot of surface area that you could, you know, put your name on here for the bargain base bottom price of $100,000.
And that would go a long ways on this budget, for sure.
Well, Duralast has not had the best...
we shouldn't talk about labels and brands.
Yeah,
I think
because,
that's probably wise. Yeah. We just figure out who's the best to do it.
Yeah, that would be good.
So
maybe they want to do it because they want to fix it.
And we, unless it's a volunteer or a donation type thing, we have to go out for a formal RFP because of the price, so we won't have any choice in...
Other than
the spec and the price.
That's an element of evaluation.
Yeah.
That brings up a really good point, Ryan. I'm glad you did. Is we set up a specific task force that isn't just, nothing against fair people, but it's you for sure. You know, some people who can look objectively at the RFP results and say, it's not just because I know this guy or whatever. It's this is the best RFP proposal based on these elements of criteria. I mean...
Yeah.
It's not a Dimmick Tower demolition at $1.5 million project, but we pulled in, you know, like 6 different people to evaluate all of the RFP responses to say there's distributed liability with, well, we all pick this person. If it doesn't go well,
right.
It's not just Ryan or Mary or Tamara or somebody saying, oh, well, I picked it. Now I'm stuck with the results.
And he's not even my brother-in-law anymore. That's what I'm upset about.
Yeah.
So
well,
I would
Ryan and I have been working together on this project for quite a while now, and Tamara is going to be a great resource for us
for
some of this stuff too. So,
okay.
So
do we have direction for Mary and Tamara?
Are we sticking with the membrane because of the budget?
No, I think that there's really valid reasons otherwise.
Really valid
I think the durability of it, and the I think that the big one is the heat, it being a cooler roof. Most of the events happen in the summertime where people are going to be sitting in the stands. The stands is
in
what up
fair.
High, people riding is down.
Yeah,
I think that's key.
Exhaust fans will help and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So we're moving forward with the RFP.
So now we just need a number for the RFP.
Not to exceed.
A not to exceed number for the total budget, or are we just going, because that's the roof portion of it, and we could do an RFP just on the roof portion. But I think
yeah, I think that that's wise.
Okay.
I think to split them out so the roof is one. It's one.
It's a total separate, different kind of contractor. I would think.
Well, I think
right.
He does these festival styles.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
I think at one point, Brian, didn't I have a 300?
No,
well,
they're
do we want to just
like
vestibule is an entrance into a restaurant.
That's what I'm saying. These
we
are
have two doors.
Kind of
it's inside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's almost like an exterior foyer in a way.
When I had the budget cut in two pieces, I actually have removed and replaced the membrane roof. It was $260,000 just for that piece.
Right. And then do we want to include those entranceways in the initial? Because then we would have a framing contractor, well, engineer.
Or do you put the roofing on the entranceways with the building, the construction of the entranceway and the roof structure?
That would be my choice, would be do the original structure.
Do the dome.
Go RFP, membrane.
What's there right now.
And it's just the roof, because we're going to do the siding.
Just the roof.
I think we hire our own, if necessary, a contractor. I think we'd want a contractor to put the siding on the roof. That's not, it looks easy, but it is not. Yeah. Once you get it off or whatever.
And a lot of square footage there.
Yep.
And then the demo to pull it down.
Right. Well, you can do that.
In round numbers, because originally I was just going to do understructure and stuff, that was $197,000, right at $200,000, basically, in the understructure and that kind of thing.
But that's not part of this, right? Is it?
Well, you don't have this that budget, because I combined it all into one budget.
What are you asking for an RFP on today? If you're asking
Well, it's got to be 300. I'd say 300,000 or whatever, not to exceed, for the roof and the other parts.
Why do you have to give a not to exceed in the RFP? I don't believe we did that.
No, that's just for me.
Yes. So we shouldn't, necessarily be disclosing numbers, because otherwise,
just see what they come back. Somebody will try to get under that number.
I have a budget of $600,000. Guess how much it is?
Yeah.
We never disclose those things with a public works project. We do anecdotally, but they change so much.
Well, these have changed too. So.
Yeah, exactly. But let's
We can go out for the RFP, and then when we come back with the results and the contract, then we can get approval for a not to exceed number.
Sure. Well, we know what it is. Yeah. You guys already know what it is. Mm-hmm. We don't need to tell anybody what it is.
But I think we ought to segregate the roof out, get that thing going right now, just the roof on what is there.
Well, there's a core competency to doing that that's different than the undergirding and the...
Right. And then the other is construction. The other one is actually going to require some framing, some this and that and the other thing. And those roofs on the turrets or whatever you want to call them,
and it's not
that can go with that portion, with the construction side of it, because it's not a big deal. But I think the main thing would be to get that the main arena dried in right now with what is there, not what's going to be there by summer.
And that'll give us a better idea of what we have left for the rest of the project at that point.
Exactly. Right. And you're dried in. You can start on the rest of it because you're all dried in. But just what's there, is it going to change? That dome's not going to change in any way other than some replacing some sheathing up there or something. But other than that, I think I would just do just the roof right now, get that dried in, and then do your gingerbread stuff as another bid.
Yeah, you could have the RFP approved, contract signed. Then you know how much it's going to cost, and that tells you exactly. But it's not like you have to wait to get it done. Just wait to get this contract signed, and then go out for the other stuff. That's a great strategy.
Yeah.
I agree.
We'll just phase it.
Portico style things.
Phase.
Pretty descriptive. I don't think we're going to get that confused. So we do the porticos and the undergirding stuff. That's probably the same contractor. Anybody who's doing the undergirding is going to be able to do the portico stuff.
Yeah, and we also have some civil work to be done because there's water issues around the building that will be taken care of before we put these up.
And the one new restroom, that can all be in there.
Well, ideally, if...
rest of that to hold up the roof. I think the roof is paramount right now.
If Strauss and Seaberg can get it a design and finalized, I wouldn't mind looking at that. I've done a fair amount of those kinds of designs on my own. And then we can get we need, 12 by 12s, 20 feet long. We can get that shipped to our miller and have those milled and drying, ready to go for the contractor to put together, because it's ideal if they're a little bit dry before they're putting up green, they're lighter.
And they won't twist and...
Should we go out for the RFP, and when we come back for a signature on a contract, should we bring color samples for the membrane roof?
I think that would be good, yes.
Please go with tan.
Is there anything left over there at Spalding? I haven't been over to Spalding in a long time, but they had some pretty good-sized timbers on some of those warehouses they had over there.
I don't know if anything's left.
I don't. Somebody told me that the whole thing's been just leveled.
Now. Yeah, I think it's gone.
Okay, I live over there, but I don't.
I think I'd want to start from scratch and have it all kind of match as fresh, stained.
Right.
I've got a stain. I've got it written down what I think is a good stain, and I'll share that before I leave. It's the same stain that they used on the split rails out at Ivy Smoke Jumpers when they put in that fence coming in. Mm-hmm. It's the nicest color stain I think I've ever seen, and I had to ask Gary Buck. I said, "Where'd you get that?"
Is it a oil, like a penafin oil or something?
I can tell you.
Okay.
Okay. So we have direction. Right.
Yes.
Good.
Yep.
Next was your kitchen. Did you have something on the kitchen? Which would be item number B, request for budget approval for pavilion commercial kitchen remodel project to proceed to request for proposals.
Can we assign the RFP committee review, or at least those members that I would like to see? I mean, Mary, Tamara, Brian, for sure, and Commissioner Young, president of the fair board. That's your role, right?
Well, when they come back, I won't be president of the board anymore.
Well, maybe the president of the board, whoever that is. Five people, I think, would be really, really good.
Okay.
Is there anybody else you would suggest as being that, you know?
Strauss and Siebert.
Strauss and Siebert.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Six is good.
Okay.
Anyway, thought we'd just sign that.
Okay, next up, item number two.
I would almost just say, and the fair board can decide, but I would almost say that Lonnie, since he started with it, might be worth just saying assign Lonnie as past chair, past president.
Let's have the fair board assign that.
Okay.
They're gonna. I agree, totally agree, but I don't want to.
But yeah, whatever. I mean, obviously, the
role. He's still going to be vice chair, so.
Okay.
He's not going anywhere.
That's the position that really works.
Pardon me?
Just kidding. That's the position that really works. Of course you're going to probably be doing this.
Can we move on to item number two?
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, so the commercial kitchen. So we originally wanted $106,000 or something to do. It was the pie in the sky bid for the commercial kitchen, or the budget for the commercial kitchen. Well, we right now have $32,500 in the bank, and we have another two, five, eight, I'm not sure what, coming from this next grant that I'm waiting on. So I kind of reworked the budget, playing around with it. Ryan and I met. We've talked some things over. And we've decided, and I gave you a kind of a drawing. This is my little hand drawing because I have to. I'm a visual person. I have to draw out everything. Ryan just goes, oh, God, no, I'm not working.
No, it's good. It is good.
Anyway, we decided that instead of moving the appliances out of the middle of the room, which I originally wanted to move them to the wall, it would make the most sense to keep those appliances in the same spot, except for turn them around backwards, so that we can now have stainless steel work tables on the back wall. We'll take the refrigeration that's there off and put it over on the, it's the 199 side.
South
side, yeah, south wall. So it still opens up the area back there, gives them walk-through space. And we don't have to cut different holes in the roof. We can use the same whatever you call that.
The big thing on these is vent hood, fire suppression,
right.
Vent hood.
Right.
Is it sufficient?
No.
No.
It's not.
No, it has to
be
replaced.
But if you don't have to move the vent hood, only replace it.
Right.
You could, and just turn what is there. You're turning the appliances around that are there and
new
reusing
appliances. New appliances.
New appliances.
New appliances.
But if you had to, and you don't have money for new appliances, mm-hmm. could you turn the other ones around and maintain a footprint so that at some point in time, you get another $40,000, say, come in and replace those appliances? Because we have the hood.
Appliances aren't the ones that are that expensive, really.
Okay.
And we actually have cut it down to 10 feet. The hood can be 10 feet instead of, I think originally we were going for 14 and a little bit more space. But if we do a 36-inch six-burner stove, if we do a 36-inch griddle for pancakes or whatever they use, and then we have two stack ovens, the convection ovens.
Another 36.
That's sufficient.
And
then
we
put stainless work areas with shelving underneath. I think we can do it all for under $50,000.
And there's some resources we can use to determine, you know, how many appliances we need to cook for how many people.
What's the maximum occupancy of that building?
That's, yeah. So we got to look at that. We don't want to have a kitchen that only can serve 100 and it holds 250 or
400.
I think it's 1400 or something.
It's a huge
other
number.
Than that,
So
if we're cooking for 1400 people, I'm not going to be then. I can tell you that. So,
yeah, but definitely leaving the hood in the same location is a big dollar saver.
That would save us a lot of money.
Yeah. And then even if some the appliances that are there are obsolete, can't even get parts for most of them. Okay. So in some cases, there may be some sources for some new used type appliances we may use for the
short term. We actually have a griddle that was donated from the golf course. Yeah. I mean, we could send that out and have it cleaned and refurbished if we need to. I mean, that griddle alone is a $5,600 piece. That's the most expensive piece, actually, is the griddle.
Yeah.
Oh, the ovens.
And this kitchen's not making meals 24/7.
No.
You know?
No.
Where a restaurant might want to replace theirs, it might work fine for the
I think
pavilion
we need
for
to,
years.
We need to keep in mind, though, that I think one of the biggies on getting grants and things and whatnot for this kitchen is the emergency side of it.
Absolutely. That's
so when you say, well, we're going to cut back because we're only going to have a wedding reception in there with 100 people in there, you better be planning. As Commissioner Morgan says, if the building holds 300, we may be housing 300-plus people in there.
Well, and I'm looking at emergency management where the fairgrounds has been approved as the Red Cross evacuation location for the county. And what housing would have to be provided, it's not going to be 300 people potentially if there's a major thing.
No, it could be 5,000 people.
Right.
Then
you're into the box. Then you're into box lunch stuff.
Exactly, not that much. But we have no real resources right now to take care of those people at the fairgrounds.
What would, I mean, an event that would feed people, what's the maximum occupancy? Because 1,400 is chairs, no tables.
Right.
What's tables and chairs occupancy?
650, roughly.
So maybe that's where we aim for, maximum 700 or maximum 600 or something like that. But
I don't want to feed the world, but I want
And we can
sure
we can look at all those.
He's got some figures for those.
We can look at all
those. I mean, that's what we should look at, is what's occupancy for what can be fed.
Mm-hmm.
And
if we're serving pancakes and there's 800 people out there, somebody's going to have to wait in line for their pancakes.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Right. I don't
I'll let you have mine.
Yeah. I'm not having any. I'm off the carbs. You get the pancakes.
I don't need them either.
But I watch, and I don't want to go back to my Navy days, but in a galley that's quite a bit smaller than this room, they would feed 300 guys three times a day plus mid-routes.
So the budget, in my opinion, is going to really be the constrictor.
The budget is the driving force.
But I appreciate the fact that you're not going to move the cooking island, because if you do, you're right. That's the big thing. You go to moving those hoods.
That's the big expense, and then we have to have it engineered over to the other wall and all kinds of things.
Yeah, and then one of the other cost-saving measures is probably going to be the flooring. It's currently got, you know, the VCT 12x12 tiles. So when we move equipment around, you're not going to match this tile, but we'll put new tiles down that match similar, that we can seal it, it can be cleaned, and then we'll just put anti-slip mats. We're not going to just yard the whole floor out and replace it, you know. We want it to be a functional, clean environment.
Paint, you know, paint can do a lot in that kitchen.
So it's a no-frills
But we also need to look at a grease trap.
Yes.
You said something about a grease trap.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's one there or not. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think there is. We'll look at it for sure.
Make sure the city's going to insist.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But we can maybe move forward and get some permits and some things taken care of. Or?
Yeah.
I would feel comfortable with it, because I think that's another thing that needs to be done out there.
Yeah, and I think on this one we might be better served to act as the general contractor rather than put this out for quotes.
Sure, that sounds good.
So we'll piece it out.
We're basically just updating now instead of
you
know, replacing, changing.
Well, if the hole up through the roof is adequate for the new hood, you don't have to cut a new hole going through the roof.
And we don't have to patch the roof. We don't have to do
that. Yeah. Roof penetration is very
expensive.
And
it's a metal roof.
It might shrink down a little, but we can just flash it. And
it's
fine.
Yeah, fine.
The only other thing that Tamara and I were in there looking at this when we decided to turn it backwards, I'd like to have some kind of a cover along the back, so when you come in the entrance to the kitchen, you just see a stainless steel cover over where the gas lines and stuff are.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Instead of exposing them to people, you know, being out there. Obviously, okay. You have to get to them to turn them off somewhere, but...
Yeah, just some kind of barrier, so we're not looking at the backs of the appliances.
Yeah.
More aesthetics.
But I think it's going to be a good flow for the kitchen.
Okay. Any other questions? Do you have a question tonight? Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan. Thumbs up, I see. And I think we're okay with it.
Now, on this one, because we're not doing the RFP, should we do it not to exceed based on your budget?
Yes.
Say not to exceed 45?
Well, my budget's at 47, so one's at 47.
So, but that 47...
But that has to be everything, not just the... I mean, you can't just put out a... That's the whole kitchen, not the...
I'm not doing an RFP. He's going to act as a general contractor. So
Be doing the painting and the appliance purchases and the flooring.
Right.
So, just so I have a number.
And I think he can get a lot better deal on the hood than, obviously, what we have in the that we budgeted for through... It was
Stainless steel
equipment company in Medford.
Yeah, and we may just purchase that directly and then just contract for it to be installed to save the money.
Yeah, there's people that build you a hood, a commercial hood, if it's within something they do in their shop.
And get the biggest thing is to get that fire suppression unit.
They send it, especially if the hole's the right size, and you just hang it, put the fan on top of it, and you're off and running.
Yeah.
And all the fire suppression, I have to go out to a fire suppression company to get all this.
Yes.
Right. And we've actually sold it to the different funding places as, you know, definitely for the emergency services. That's the biggest part of it, so that this county can be ready, a little bit better ready for emergencies.
What if Alex Campbell from the governor's office, because that was one of the things they talked about at leadership was emergency services. Mm-hmm. Touched on it. They didn't really dwell on it, but they did touch on it. Alex and see if there's something in there.
Well, we might not be totally ready, but we don't have to be not ready.
Well, you know, just tap everything we possibly can on it. Okay, so we've got those two off under the wire. Thank you all very much.
We need
anything else?
Just a not to exceed number.
The budget.
Budget.
Yeah.
55, not to exceed 55, because she may get some more money in. That gives us a little contingency.
Well, this 47 included most of the money.
Okay.
That's the new one that I haven't... I know I got money, but I don't know how much yet.
Okay. So.
Yeah, it's whatever she has. So don't speculate. You can afford something else if you get it. But, you know, it's just like the arena thing. It's a phasable element.
Okay.
You know, you want everything, but you have money for this. So.
We already cut it from 100 down to 47.
Right.
So.
Okay. That works.
Sounds good.
All right.
Let's go get it done. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Item 1B is Human Resources, J.J. Schofield. Item B1 is Request for Annual Non-Union Wage COLA Decision.
Morning, Commissioners.
Morning, J.J.
Good morning.
All right, so what I have for you today is a request for a decision on, basically it's an annual process on whether or not to grant the non-union employees a cost of living adjustment. You know, we do this every year. We base it primarily on what's our budget, what is the inflationary rate, what are some of the collective bargaining units doing. On top of that, I also did a wage analysis for the non-union employees. Last year I did the directors, and so this year I'm doing the rest of the non-union folks. And I have the recommendation is to grant the cost of living adjustment based upon the inflationary rate, which is kind of our standard practice and policy. And the second recommendation is to move a handful of positions to keep them within the 5% window, which has been our standard practice. So not a very controversial recommendation, but either way that the board needs to say yay or nay on those two recommendations.
Okay. I can't get page 6 up on my computer, so I can't tell you what it is.
What's the CPI right now?
Well, on page 7 is the 3%. One that actually has.
What is the comparator?
Say it again.
What's the comparator?
Relationship
with
here.
What agreed to on those? Within the margin?
Yeah, it's about the same. So FOPA was 2.95, AFSCME was 2.5 6 months ago, and SEA was 3%.
Here.
Rock is no longer on my neck. Okay.
Well, I had looked at it, and I think we've received some correspondence about a couple of the proposed non-union changes for non-directors. We're still making an adjustment with the directors, right?
Well, that was last year.
Yeah, but this is an annual thing.
Well, so this is a COLA, so that would affect all the non-union employees.
Okay, that's...
Yeah.
And then the ranges of some of the non-directors here. I know we did...
Capacity with my storage, so...
It's okay. And we did get an email on one that...
Have you addressed that one?
Mm-mm.
No, it was he.
Uh-uh.
Have you had correspondence on...
I don't even know which one you're talking about.
Were we only notified?
I don't know who the two is. I assume that it went to the three of us, but none of us have talked about it.
No.
And I think there's some valid things here, but I don't have
perspective
of two sides. So.
Sure, and you're not the liaison to that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we could probably move it forward contingent on that thing, and we can work that one out. Let those two and that employee work it out with the director of that program. So that happens. He'll be back next week. So it's in finance.
Assistant finance director.
Well, I can actually speak to that because I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, that's
on
what
that.
He would ask.
I chatted with that employee.
Okay.
So our standard practice is to move people to closest but not less than. This particular position has some unique things about it, though, because it used to be that Arthur was in that position, mm-hmm. and then the office was restructured, and we removed the position, not really based on comp analysis, but based on really job duty changes.
Right.
And based on that, I think that the position probably has been undervalued for at least a couple of years. So I would actually have no problem with... going outside of our typical practice in what step that person would move to. So typically we move to close to but not less than.
Right.
Based on the particulars of that, I would be perfectly comfortable with saying let's move her straight down.
I think that's the request. The other one was whether or not, I mean, she was just told by her that it was going to be an N20 or an N21, and if the recommendation is an N19.
So,
well, moving, like, the categorization of the position is different than what we're proposing to do with just a salary.
Mm-hmm.
So aren't those two different things? In my mind, they seem different.
But based on the job duties, the recommendation, she was told it was going to be an N20. So I'm just curious if you had that conversation.
Her director may have said that he thinks it may be that. If you look at the comps for that specific position... That position is 13.9% below comps, so I recommended two ranges. If you wanted to move it three, that still would be within a 5% window.
What does two do? Okay, you go from 17 to 19. What does the 13.9 drop to?
3.9.
Mm-hmm. So it's 10%.
Mm-hmm. So still below comps.
Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to have it...
But within the
5%. But if it was at 20, it's what?
Well, if you moved it to 20, that'd be 15%. So that would be 1.1% above comp.
Over.
Mm-hmm.
But has been underpaid for 2 years.
But still, within the 5% window.
So my other question is there any compression issues in any of these that we need to be looking at?
No.
Okay.
I would... The difference of dollar and cent between 19 and 20 is probably not... It's a hill of beans, right?
Not very much.
The psychological is huge.
Yeah.
So I would lean towards a 20, and then that's done for a while. Correct?
And that comp analysis would recommend, either one would be fine. It would still be within the 5% window.
There's a thing that we should all recognize here. You know what it is?
Beg your pardon?
There's a thing that we should recognize here. We don't have the director in the room.
Right.
And I think that's absolutely key, that we sit down.
I do want to hear what Arthur has, his recommendation
that's
is.
That's something I'm looking for hearing.
It's been a he said, she said, she's been told, so on and so forth.
I would love for you as the liaison to sit down with him and work this out.
Say,
can look at the other
what do you think?
Yeah, I want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. He'll be back Monday?
Yeah. Something like that.
So if the board's willing to move this forward with the caveat of this position.
Yeah. Yes. And I agree with, because of the last 2 years of what you said, to stipulate straight down, and then you figure out which level it's supposed to be based on the conversations with. But
how long is this? How long has this 17 been here? What should have been a 19?
Well, she's been here 4.5 years, 4 years.
Okay, so I would, and I'll talk to Arthur about it, but I would lean more towards the 20, kind of as a makeup also.
Well, there was a. There's also a phasing of this, and you know we worked from a different structure,
right?
And so it's there was I think we need to just talk with Arthur.
I want to talk with Arthur is what the actual job requirement is.
We're seeing
does it justify it?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense to you?
So I have no problem with
recommend
that.
Moving forward with the caveat that Commissioner DeYoung is going to work out the details of the other one.
Sure.
With the blessing that we're. Supporting looking at the options.
Yeah, and I mean the numbers are in between two, so either range would be perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
Okay, we got that. Perfect.
Thank you, sir.
Did you want to bring up the other thing you chatted to me this morning about?
Yes, I'm recommending. I've done the conversations with finance, HR, obviously JJ. I was a little taken aback by, and the clerk's office, which I think is paramount to this decision. I'm recommending that we close offices on Christmas Eve. I was taken aback by the idea that we don't do that already. It's weird that we have the day after Thanksgiving or whatever it is. We don't close for Christmas Eve. There's a lot of people that celebrate it and are having to make a decision about, you know, do they come in or do they stay home? Christmas Eve should be a day off, and it's odd that we don't recognize it, and I think it's something we need to look at into the future of saying, no, we're not going to be open Christmas Eve.
I would support us closing. I came from, and granted, I know I have a different perspective, but I was a department that no matter what, the department head would not close, and I was the only person in the building covering to make sure we were open for hours, and not a single phone call came in, not a single person
came in. Technically open.
The door was open. I was physically there. But what would have happened?
Title companies are also closed, which I think is a big consideration.
Big pardon?
Title companies are closed.
So it wouldn't affect the clerk that way.
Yeah, that's I don't need somebody who's buying a house for a Christmas present or whatever else, and they can't get in to file something.
So if the title companies are closed, that's... I would support that, and I think the staff would...
How does that work with courts? Does it mean the courthouse is still open in case they need...
I don't really care.
Okay.
They have... Well, we're
I don't want to
sound... But the departments are closed.
The county is closed the day after Thanksgiving. The courts are open, and they have the option of either having this building open, or this year they actually moved over to family court because it's such a slow day.
So...
If the board elects to basically add a holiday... It's a fairly easy process. We would notify the courts, and then they can make the decision.
And they have, if, then they would they make ready.
They deal with it.
Okay.
So yeah, I would have no. I don't have a problem with it because I know there's a lot of people that travel.
Yeah.
On that day, even if it's just one, we're going to go to Portland.
Especially this year, it's a Monday.
Right.
So to have a weekend, have one day of work to be off the next day.
I don't mean to say that I don't care about courts, but they never enter into my reason for why I would stay open or close.
You said it. No.
I have a meeting with Judge Baker in a little bit.
As it relates to this specific issue.
No, criteria element. They'll deal with
it. Not a deal breaker.
No.
Speaking of. Can we come up with some kind of recognition of her service?
I think that's important.
I just learned yesterday or the day before that she's retiring at the end of the month as our presiding judge. So.
Oh, Lindy Baker? Judge Baker?
Might be nice for the county to acknowledge her service in our county.
Yeah. I don't know what we could do, but we'll figure out what we've done in the past.
As it relates for the Christmas Eve, I would request that the board make a motion and approve that today so that we have time to let the courts know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We just did.
He made the motion, I second.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor, aye.
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 Okay.
Motion carries 3-0.
All right.
Make it happen, JJ.
All right.
Okay, anything else for JJ at this time? If not, we'll move along to item number C1. Rob Brandis will be here, and it's permanent easement. Actually, 1, 2, and 3 are permanent easements.
Easements
for the Sand Creek Bridge project, correct?
Correct.
And this is the final three, or you have any more?
Yes, we have one in hand, and we said, you know, we're going to bundle the rest of them. Yeah, good memory. 2 months ago, maybe. Good morning, Commissioners. Rob Brandis, Public Works. So, yes, these are the final three that we need to get for the reconstruction of the bridge. We got the northwest corner from Pace back in August. So these are the remaining three. They've taken a bit longer than usual just because of the nature of how far that thing blew out. Is that tree going to fall? Is it not going to fall? So there was some additional negotiating in terms of the value of the timber that's left, and it's all formulaic. They say, hey, that's a pine. That's 18 inches at the butt. You get this much for the lumber, that kind of a thing. So this is kind of the final step. The easements are not only to accommodate the newer, bigger bridge, but also to give us some maintenance access in the future to get down into it. So that's the need for that. And like I say, these are all negotiated. We're arm's length. We have a subcontract that they go out there and haggle and hassle to figure out what those chunks are worth. Bigger picture, it's not going to make a bit of difference, I don't think, on budget. We're right about where we need to be. The original grant was like $1.65 million. The match was 6%, so we basically had $1.556 million to spend on this. And based on the last estimates for construction, I think we're going to be plus or minus 50 on that. We're looking pretty good. If we come in under with the bids, we will look at adding like some variable message boards because that's perfectly permissible, part and parcel of the project, so good way to tool up. I'd ask the board to, if we could sign these today, just to keep it moving. The other, we're still waiting on ODFW for a permit, which is making me a bit nervous, but I think we'll get there and be pushing for, obviously, spring construction to start.
Spring of 19.
Yep.
Any questions at all and comments on that?
I make a motion that we approve so we can move forward with the
project. Second that?
Second.
Well, any questions, further questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. You're in.
Thank you.
So if you can get that to us, we'll be in really good shape.
I had a constituent come and talk about a vacation. It seems like there's a couple of those that are... What is the process for that? Is there an application to a file, or is it possible that the board files that on behalf of...
I would say just shunt them out our way, and we can... There's a process, but Eric can step them through that. It's pretty quick and clean, and typically there's not even a hearing involved because you get 100% agreement from the affected owners. If we vacate it,
no other affected owners.
Then it's really easy. Then there's no hearing and everything else.
So, is there a cost associated with vacations?
The vacations, I want to say it's $450 or $500 with no hearing. I think it's $1,000 if a hearing is required. But
seems like a lot.
There's a moderate amount of recording work and survey. And that one could be a fairly cut and dry. And depending on the situation, I mean, I could certainly come to the board with a proposal to waive it. I mean, hey, I'd go vacate 50 roads of maintained miles of maintained roads tomorrow if I could.
See, that we can talk offline on because I don't want to presuppose the applicant's going to go forward with it, but they're simple. Mm-hmm. They should be very simple. One owner, permanent easement for the BLM, no easements for somebody else on the other one.
Yeah.
I see it. I think we have a lot of these out there that people would really like to just have clarity over. Mm-hmm. And so figuring out an expedited way to make, you know, Commissioner DeYoung's always wanting to go on vacation, so he wants to... As liaison to public works.
If there's one applicant, yeah, it's pretty cut and dried. And since it is an established fee, I think I would have to formally come back to you guys to say waive it.
Cool.
But yeah, again, it's, you know, we're going to...
I'd be in favor of whatever's, you know, your time.
We're going to revisit it with the bridge out there with John Bryan. I want to vacate that bridge, and I will absolutely waive the fee on that.
Absolutely.
Same kind of a thing.
Right.
So, no, we can get something together. Good. So, yeah, for a jumping off point, if you want to send them out our way and Eric can get them going.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. Item number 2, Board Business 2A, is the Golden Heights plat map, and we have that map here in front of us.
Move to approve, Mr. Chair.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Plat map is approved. We'll want to sign this today, by the way.
Yeah.
Right here. And the pen is right there. Okay, 2B is draft AOC product tasting thank you letters.
there's some.
I think we have.
Yeah, they're kind of in the packet, but they're
samples
just,
in here.
They're just drafts. And we dealt with different people at each of the locations, so as a matter of do we send it to the corporation and acknowledge those employees, or do we send them to them and just say thank you? But, one thing I also would like to recommend and get your approval on is getting an ad in the Ivy News and the Courier acknowledging them and saying thank you publicly. There was quite a bigger step up this year from some of these businesses and what they provided and how they did that. Taylor Sausage, for instance, created platters and various things and, really went beyond just donation. Wild River as well gave abundantly more than they have in the past in variety and root beers and other stuff. And so just an opportunity to say we've done this. Could even put a line in there about if you'd like to participate with the county next year, there's that opportunity. But to give advertising to Pennington's, Babe's, Wild River, Taylor's, and Dutch Bros, the five that we received contributions from.
Did anybody take pictures of our presentation up there at the...
I got a couple, not a lot, but yeah.
Rather than an advertisement, I think a press release would be better suited.
Well, the advertisement to me gives them publicity, and the whole point is that they...
I'd read a story before I read an ad any day.
Okay.
I think I would.
Well, we can put out a press release as well.
Yeah.
My concern is that you have companies that have put out money on our behalf. How do we acknowledge them that can acknowledge their businesses and say...
There are some companies that don't wish to be recognized, and we've got to be cognizant of that. But no, I don't. These aren't on these two particular things. That's not the case. But I don't have any problem with it. I just to me, I don't know. If we have a press release, I would read a story about, like for instance, the event in Eugene. I'd read a story about that. Local things. Take it away at the association we're in counties or something of that sort. Whereas we're paying for an ad, we don't pay for an ad. We don't pay for a press release. And I think I don't read any ads in the Courier. I skip over them. They mean nothing to me. That's me. I mean, that's how I read a paper.
I have to be consistent with the board's conversation about advertising, as we do our practice. So I'm not opposed to it, but you know where our position is as a board with advertising. So I don't know why we couldn't do a combination, perhaps.
Right.
Some press release and some advertising.
I'm just looking at it having a thank you, a public thank you.
Right.
I don't think I have to spell it out. You know what conversation we've had.
Right.
And so I would be consistent with that. I don't ever want to do that, ever, if it's possible. And so that would be the press release one. And then the others, perhaps, even the sneak preview.
Sneak preview goes to every home?
I do read the ad in that. Mm-hmm. So, that might be one.
Ivy News does a...
Focus on just doing it maybe with that press release to everybody else. Okay. I don't know. But I think there's a combination. This is a big deal for these businesses. Never asked for them to do, but they did. They're willing, and I think that it needs to be, proportional. You did. It worked out great. I can't say thank you enough, but it deserves a little bit more than a thank you note than what we used to do. So
I would
proportionality
just wonder if
that is totally appropriate.
In your letter that you drafted here to Buck's,
it's not my letter. I haven't drafted this.
Well, whoever drafted the letter to the Babe Bakery or whoever, to all those big participants, I think we needed to be accompanied by a picture of what our booth looked like, because it was stellar. It really looked well compared to everybody else's stuff.
If you want to, do what you want to do, but you know where I stand on that other issue.
Yeah.
Anything you want to do minus that?
Yeah, I'm open for it. You're the one that put this whole thing together, especially for the what you have there.
Uh-huh.
Like what we talked about
earlier. Run with it.
The prior boards have failed more so to recognize than over recognition or whatever. So
right.
My goal with just assigning somebody to make sure that we do a thank you note at the very least is that in years past, that didn't happen. And we still fail, I can see it from time to time, we do a really good job. Don't get me wrong. But I never want us to just take it for granted that these businesses are going to do this, that it's going to get done. So just when I came back, every year when I go to the annual meeting, my first thing that I do, besides my expense report, is let's make sure we do those thank you notes. Because mm-hmm. doing them in January or, you know, it's already weeks away.
Along those lines, I'd rather overdo than underdo.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's part of it, is putting that formal thank you in the...
The sneak preview, I'm going to have to get a hold of this week. I'm trying to think of when the deadline is.
I just talked to him yesterday. I think it's a while. It'll be a January. It's
a January
obviously
issue.
Obviously done for December, but
okay.
Yeah. Well, this is a different plot.
So I don't know. I'm comfortable with letting you run with it.
Okay.
Go with your feelings.
Okay.
Because the basis is we asked them to help us, and they helped us in a huge way.
They stepped up greatly.
So we should really be thanking them
in a way that can bring business back to them.
We should be reciprocating in the same way.
Correct.
And I think a press release, too, get Jason on, put together a press release, so they get an opportunity to see both.
Okay.
Double whammy.
Thank you.
I'm by that case.
Okay.
Good job on that, on the thing, by the way, to all of the staff and commissioners alike. Just what a great job on that. Was just when I walked in the room, I went, whoa. That Pam and I walked around, and she says, wow, Josephine just got everybody. We had a lot of good comments.
The executive board said that we were the best in show.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
What's next?
For foundation thank you letters. Should we just, do you want to take the thank you letter thing and work with Jason as far as our you know, because we're going to have these. We've got the Ford Foundation letter. We're going to have all kinds of letters from Mary. I think she's sending out. Maybe Mary's already sent out letters to the Ford Foundation or whatnot.
The board can always follow up.
And we can always follow up. I think this looks really good. When you get something like this in the mail, I think it's important.
Yeah. I haven't looked at that one yet.
I haven't either. And Mary's got some letters in there on page 59.
We got to change that letter already. We just gave credit to one Rotary, and there's four Rotaries that take part in the Duck Derby.
Exactly.
And Greater Grants Pass Rotary Club is one of four. Are we just sending... Oh, or we're sending individuals. My bad. Okay, I didn't read them all.
And I like sending an individual one to each one of the Rotaries,
okay,
rather than just Rotary International.
No, I thought that was just the one letter
okay.
was sent. No, I'm sorry. I jumped to a conclusion. That was wrong.
Okay. Jackson County, moving on. We're done with C on the letters.
I would recommend on the Illinois Valley one that we also acknowledge the project of the Jubilee Park, because all four letters should be amended to say not only the arena that is a county arena, but we partnered with the Jubilee Park.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If you want to take that, because you're aware of all of that stuff,
okay.
Why don't you just take that?
Okay.
The thank you letters.
Yes, sir.
Category. Then mm-hmm. D is Jackson County Board of Commissioners public hearing on December 11, 2018 regarding the impact of wildfires on citizens and businesses. Would the board have any interest in attending on Tuesday, December 11th at 5 p.m.? And
have been invited?
5 p.m. till 11 p.m.
I received an invitation, yeah.
Yes.
I think the board did, yeah.
And Colleen talked to me personally about it, but I cannot attend.
I cannot attend. I'm planning. I'm going to go over and see. I got chewed out pretty good by the Harney County commissioners why I hadn't been over to see them.
Okay.
So I'm going to be gone.
So
I haven't marked that on my calendar yet. I'm waiting for here.
Not when?
I'm not even sure exactly when. I won't be here the 11th, though. I don't have it down.
Do we have
I'm
a quorum issue the week?
Off.
I don't know. I'm supposed to be the short timer. Why am I the only... Are you here? Because I heard you were out.
Next week I'm out. I'd be happy to invite you to join me.
You'd look good in those Mickey's ears.
Thanks.
Harry Potter World is also coming.
Okay. So we have nothing. That Matthew Pachorik is coming in on Tuesday. That's in the evening, though, right?
Mm-hmm. 5 to 9.
Gosh.
Not to exceed 9 o'clock in Medford. Yeah, and it's at the Commons. At the, it's going to be a pretty good size deal because it's at the Commons at North Medford High School, I believe.
So.
Jeez. So it's going to be a huge. I mean, if we're
to follow up what we're.
You can follow up in writing. I think we would be better off if we sent it in writing rather than to stand up at the microphone.
Oh, I'm not going to use time for the public.
I have.
No, we just listen to what the issues are. But the follow-up is that we're looking at the week of January 7th through 11th, that second week in January, of trying to have the regional meeting for our follow-up with fires and bringing in...
Josephine counties.
Yes, but with the other commissioners, the... any.
We should invite all three counties. I don't understand. Yeah, we should. Yeah. All four.
Douglas, Curry, and Jackson. Yeah, and I was... Coos wants to come as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Douglas, Jackson, and Susan Morgan's helping us coordinate it, but bringing BLM U.S. Forest Service.
My
and saying, what are we doing now? After getting the feedback of that one, now, I also talked to Carl about, can we try to see about moving forward something with the state that requires that all agencies in Oregon, if there's a fire in Oregon, that ODF has primary, and see if we can work on that through the fire.
Can we put together? They always ask, oh, well, this, yeah, we've heard you, but nothing ever changes. Can we put together before that meeting? Put together a list of things that we say need to happen, that we feel need to happen.
Well, and that's for our January meeting.
Yeah,
and get our list,
and then you know we don't want to discuss it with you. This is your charge. This is what we want from you. Take it and run with it. Because I was frustrated at that meeting we went to up there on fires. I could have stood up at the end and said, okay, this is meeting number 7 I've been to where the people stand up and pass the mic around and tell you the exact same thing every time and nothing's happened. Nothing's even moving slightly towards it. Other than the best thing that's ever happened so far is Vern George coming in on board for the U.S. Forest Service. But other than that, it's business as usual. And that's
so you're
part of listening.
Going to be here, you're in the 8 years I've been in those things.
Right.
The highest potential.
And you've heard it over and over and over and over and over.
But I don't get disappointed when I'm in a room because there was nobody in that room who actually sets policy.
No.
There was no one in that room.
But it's a waste of everybody's time, and it gets their expectations built up to say, oh, I told them,
boy. Something's going to change in that room.
And absolutely nothing
changes.
The guy that I was talking to next to me, I said, you know, the guy listened.
I do feel like this regional meeting that you're talking about putting together, that shouldn't just be a one-year thing. It shouldn't be Jackson County going on it on their own. It should be a regional thing, and maybe they do it in every county. But
well, that's why I brought it. I'm not looking at a public meeting. I'm looking at the policymaker meeting.
Oh. Okay.
And saying, okay, we've got
this
feedback.
That was different than what I thought you were trying. I thought you were doing a similar thing to that, but here.
Yeah, no. Okay. They're getting the feedback, and people from here are going to go to that.
Yeah.
Receiving the feedback and then having us regionally come to a meeting and say, what are we actually going to do about it?
Right.
We have this fire season coming up in four months.
Coming out of all of this stuff, what do we want to see happen?
We had this advisory question. We had this feedback from the public.
We had a contract with BLM that expires in June.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they haven't renewed that yet. I spoke to, when I was back at the Interior, I said, that's priority number one. You don't have a firefighting agency, and they're living hand-to-mouth with a one-year contract with... you know, like $1 billion worth of firefighting infrastructure that they don't know that they're fighting your fire next year. That's ridiculous. It's not very... I think that's the number one issue for me. Get a 10-year contract with ODF to be fighting your fires. Or permanent, you know. Mm-hmm. I hear your frustration, Dan, Commissioner.
Or just do away with BLM because they don't do anything.
No.
Let's just do away with BLM and let's cut them out of the federal budget.
Yeah.
Because they're only on the West Coast. They aren't anywhere else. Just cut them out. You don't do anything. All you do is you're just a go-between to farm it out to somebody else, just farm it direct to ODF or Department of Forestry.
So
when we left,
you're not here.
When we left the other day, did you see all the people in camouflage up there at Portland? They were there for an Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife meeting.
Oh, really?
Can I sit in? I want to ask you about cougars and why you charge, but you take the money for... for animal control, but you don't do anything about it. But that's it.
So if you're not here next week,
No.
Then we need to cancel stuff.
We do.
I'm going to get that. I'm going to solidify what I'm going to do, hopefully. Yeah. And it may be the week after that. I just got to get out of here for about 4 or 5 days.
Well, if you could ideally schedule it.
Next week would be better instead of the week after.
Next week would be better than the week after? Okay, well, let's sit down before I go anywhere today.
But my fingers. We have one thing on the WBS, and that's that non-COLA thing. So if we cancel it, it'd be fine. We could just push that.
Does that have to go to the WBS?
Okay. I believe so. Yeah, it's an annual thing. We have not, yeah.
I couldn't remember if we had done something earlier about contracts.
We did.
Okay.
But that's separate.
Okay.
That's rolled in, and that's a budgetary thing that the Elected Officials Compensation Committee approved and
okay.
The board did, so that was 2 years ago.
Okay, so...
We can put that on the 19th and then just cancel the meetings next week, at least the WBS.
Reschedule,
okay.
Matt.
I'll see if I can get that put together before I leave today.
Okay.
So we could do that, because I'm going to be on today and tomorrow.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'll do it that way. Anything else under matter from commissioners?
I had one.
You do?
We had a circumstance come up about somebody who served on one of our advisory board members. She was a representative of a different agency, but then took a job with the county. She loved being a part of that advisory board and wants to continue, but is now an employee. So the question comes is, do we have citizens that are non-employees on these groups, or do we allow employees to be on advisory board meetings? The whole idea is you don't want necessarily the majority to be employees. But I did look up on this particular case, LADPC is this committee that, so I'm liaison to LADPC. The application came to me. Generally, we'd make a resolution to come before us. And I was struggling with employee being on an advisory board. So the bylaws say voting members who are employees or board members of providers that receive funding from the county must follow the conflicts of interest requirements set forth in a different article. So they're not prohibited on this committee from being on there. But
I was going to say, because you're an employee of the county doesn't mean you're not a citizen of Josephine County anymore.
But we're also supposed to, it's also... Once they are an employee, there's a different spin on, is government advising government, or are we having the public advise?
Exactly. Those are member-at-large positions. They should be ideally set aside for non-government, certainly not county government, employees to sit on them. If you start populating it with a bunch of employees, it's not going to look good. It's not.
That won't go far.
No, that is not a good idea.
That'll go to the next WBS.
Well, what I'm just thinking is, if there's a need, that person is extraordinary in her role. Make a bylaws change or whatever you need.
The bylaw allows it already.
Already. Not to supplant a public person's seat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm recommending. Is you have to afford their certain public opportunities to engage. We don't want to dissuade anybody or pick an already engaged person in that issue with, So
yeah.
I think it's a case-by-case basis, but ideally... Figure out a way to make an accommodation. That would be my...
In this circumstance, there are up to 15 positions available. There's like 7 available or 8 available members at large. So it's...
Not as though you're...
I'm not supplanting in the public.
If there was just one...
There's
you put,
multiple vacancies still
then that
existing.
Sounds fine.
Okay. I just didn't want to make
that...
Let's
just evaluate it on a case-by-case basis.
Generally speaking, not wanting employees to fill that role... But in this case, the bylaws don't prohibit it, and there is background and there's other openings.
Is that way you just started out, in this case, that shows everybody you're taking it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
You've given us a thought, we had the discussion, and in this case, we as a board decided that you're not taking something away from the general public, because there's plenty more opportunities around.
Well,
and there will be other opportunities on that committee.
With your permission, regarding advisory boards as well, we have some advisory boards. One that this came up and showed me was the EMS board, Emergency Medical Services Board. The bylaws or the document require that one position be from the sheriff's office, one be from the ambulance service agency, and this and that. But when we fill it, we put them with an expiring term. why do we have expiring terms on ones that are filled with these others? So I just wanted permission to maybe see if we can change some of that when it's not requiring a resolution. It's not requiring a AMR, so long as they have a contract, is going to be that representative. Mm-hmm. And so just want to have...
The term is till their contract runs out.
So just wanted to kind of see if that's all right with me to work with staff on some of those. They're like, hey, that position expired. No, the sheriff's office position doesn't ever expire. That kind of stuff. Okay.
For sure.
Yeah, it sounds great. I think it's a housekeeping element that should easily be done.
Okay.
Okay. And I've got a couple things from Rogue Valley Council of Governments yesterday. Mm. The contractor for... Food and Friends, to do the guy that's doing all the construction over there, their company decided they would provide all the lumber and everything for the portico, so we don't need to worry about it from Ron Fields.
Okay.
Because Ron was going to cut it and whatnot. We were supposed to get him a list, and so we don't need to do that anymore. Also, had a very interesting presentation yesterday from Maddie, I think is her name, and she used to be with Jackson County, but now she's with City of Ashland. And she's got a presentation about on the fringe of the urban growth boundary, they have a problem with, for instance, their jurisdiction stops at the urban, at the county, at the city-county line, but in the urban growth boundary and adjoining properties, they have grass that's this high and no jurisdiction. So she has a proposal to create a buffer zone around the city that you can say you're going to go cut those weeds down. And I wasn't versed in it, but don't we have a deal with the U.S. with Oregon Forestry, the ODF, that we charge a certain amount to rural people on their tax bill for fire suppression?
ODF does.
ODF charges it, yeah.
Okay. Do they have the same thing in Jackson County?
Statewide.
Statewide, okay. All right. Because I was going to bring that up because people are already encouraged to do that through that program.
So there's one other program that we might look at, and that would be what's the fire mitigation? The defensible spaces around houses program.
Firewise. Yeah.
We have funding through Title III or Title II for Firewise, so it might be that that's...
She was trying to put something on books, and maybe if I suggested not necessarily coming and talking to the board about it, but coming and talking to the Fire Chiefs Association over here about it. See what they're...
So the Firewise Communities is revenue within 100 feet of a home, maybe 150 sometimes. And that's kind of based on Senate Bill... I've forgotten. 70-something. Anyway... we do have money for that, but I would. We've got the Title III restrictions are supposed to be reduced in the Farm Bill going forward, so you're going to have an opportunity to probably buy stuff like we did with 2008 funds back in the day. So I wouldn't really.
Don't use it up yet.
Yeah, we appropriated a lot.
She's talking about, for instance, there's a place over there in Ashland where it's right up against the city county line. It's owned. It's a pretty good sized plot owned by a contractor, a developer, and they've contacted me and said, you know what, this thing gets going, we could have another paradise here because if it's grass this high because you mowed it all down, you won't have the ember factor. If it catches on fire, it's just going to burn through it. But it's not going to put all the embers in the air that are going to set roofs on fire in that housing development. And just some common sense thing that they have no teeth to get him to do that, to get them to cut that down.
Yeah, there won't be.
And I says, I don't know how you're going to pull that off. But
the only teeth that we would have is in the urban growth boundary that is the old one here. They can do that because that is under city codes.
Right.
We don't have county codes that restrict stuff like
that. But we don't have a county code that restricts that. And
you,
that's
you
what,
won't
she, what I think she's
on
asking.
On EFU or Woodlot Resource.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have that. All of it has to be volunteer.
I told her that one of the things that she probably needs to delve into is the insurance companies are going to be coming around saying, you know what? You don't keep that cleaned up.
Yeah.
Especially after this last bit of fire down in California. They're done. There's some insurance companies saying, I'm out of California altogether because this state's going to burn to the ground and I'm not going to be around them when it does. They can't afford to do it. So I said, maybe it should be an incentive from an insurance company to say, your insurance premium is this, but if you clean that all up, it's this. It's a reduced amount.
I've had meetings
you
with
have to encourage
Rural Metro, Chief Hoke, and I will have a pending meeting about the private fire standards. I had a meeting with our legal staff as far as statutorily making sure that we know what our foundation requirements are and going from there. So I've been trying to get that stuff going to go from there.
Well, I'll get her name to you because you're in the emergency side of it.
Yes, sir.
And
does she lives maybe, here?
No, Ashland, city of Ashland. She went to Rogue Valley Council of Governments, which is all.
Okay, yeah.
And she gave a presentation to Rogue Valley Council of Governments. And she was set two deals down. I says, you know, let me talk to our Chief Hoke. I'll talk to him. We have a pretty strong emergency management position in our group over there, so maybe that's when she needs to talk to
him. She was selling something or she was asking for policies?
She's just asking policy if there's some sort of a policy that can be made, policy change. She worked for the city. She's like, I think she's Ashland's new administrator, Maddie something.
There's really very little you can do. She's looking for a county issue, and she needs to go to her county.
Right.
That's not a council of government issue. That's a Ashland has their own proposed.
Yeah, and that's fine. They can do that in a city. The city of Grants Pass does.
Right.
But they don't really enforce it, and you want a county to try to? I mean, I get what you're asking, but that's like a...
Then Chief Hope can tell her that. People can tell her that. Yeah. I'm not going to tell her that at a meeting. She goes... Well, imagine that. Josephine County and the city of Ashland agreeing on something. And I said...
I agree with John all the time.
That was it. I know. And I said, if there's ever
what
been
a
any...
a terrible connotation for the manager
said, to
have.
But she's just being a smart ass. Excuse me, smart aleck. And I said, if there was ever a disagreement, it probably came from your end of the county. I said, because we work with everybody in Josephine County.
We do.
Oh, okay.
What a terrible attitude.
So anything else that we have?
I did notice on our calendars the 19th, two Wednesdays from now in the afternoon, is our Christmas gathering, holiday gathering.
Here?
Yes.
Okay.
In this room. So as far as getting an invitation out to all staff or any community partners that we need to for that.
Yeah. Sure like the tree. It's pretty.
All three of them.
All of them are gorgeous. Okay, with that, then we are adjourned at 10:38.